Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. On today's show, I'll be talking to the National Federation of Independent Business about their lawsuit, which is now in front of the Supreme Court, about whether the Federal Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is constitutional and what our other options are if the law is struck down. And one thing about college instructors is that some are far better than others, although there's a program at Michigan State University to help train graduate students to be better in the classroom. We'll talk about that. But first, the big news in Lansing today is that the capital city may soon have a casino. Mayor Virch Bernero making the announcement this morning. But is that really going to happen? And what is the process that will have to take place for that to occur? To talk about that, I'm joined by Matthew Fletcher, a professor at the MSU College of Law and the director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
So this is a coalition between the city of Lansing and the Sault Ste. Marie tribe of the Chippewas. How frequently do we see this kind of partnership occur?
Well, it happens a lot more than you would think, but it's probably happened a half dozen times here in Michigan over the last 10 years, involving cities like Romulus and Port Huron and Flint. Probably not with this much fanfare, though. And nationally, you probably, over the last 20 years, have had a couple hundred proposals like this taken seriously. As a matter of history, though, only a very small number of those proposals have actually come to fruition. And outside of California, I can only think of a couple, and that's one in Buffalo and one in Milwaukee.
So I guess it's fair to say that it's highly unlikely that we will see this casino actually being built.
Well, if history is any indicator, that is the case.
What is the process, then? What has to happen for an Indian tribe to begin to build a casino here in Lansing?
Well, normally the process is they must have land in a trust and have the land be a part of their reservation. And since the Sioux Tribe Reservation is in the Upper Peninsula, this is almost by definition not part of their reservation. So that's a difficult process. You have to convince the secretary to take the land into trust. You also have to convince the governor, if this land is for gaming purposes, to agree to it, to concur that this is going to be a useful thing. Before you can get the land into trust, you have to purchase the land. You have to conduct an environmental impact statement, which sometimes takes up to 2 or 3 years, although I think they can do it quicker. And then you got to do the hard process, very politicized, of persuading the secretary that this is a good thing. Even if you have the governor on your side, and tribes in Michigan in the past have had different governors on their side, Interior has never decided to take land into trust this far away from a tribe's reservation.
So the real challenge is then to have the tribe be given ownership of this land, and that would require the governor signing off on it.
Yeah, it would. It's a huge challenge. Even after you persuade the secretary to agree to the trust land acquisition, it's likely you're going to have multiple lawsuits that will follow. Here in Michigan, the Potawatomi tribes in the southwest part of Michigan, there are three of them, now have operating casinos. It took them between 5 and 10 years each to get through the lawsuits that came after the secretary decided to take land in trust for them.
I see.
And that was when they were close to their homes.
Are there no local tribes in the Lansing area that would be more suited to an endeavor like this?
Well, the closest tribe, as far as I can tell, is the Saginaw Chippewa Indian community. This area is part of their traditional territory. It's very a Chippewa-Ottawa type orientation in this right here in Lansing, and they would be the closest ones. So it's likely that they are going to be the ones who, in fact, they've already come out publicly in opposition, that would oppose this, a casino by any other tribe. Here in Lansing, they would oppose it more than any other tribe.
Why would the Bernero administration have gone to this tribe in Sault Ste. Marie rather than approach a local tribe?
I don't know. That's a great question, and it may have to do with the Saginaw Chippewa is not interested in developing any more casinos outside. They already have one outside of their Isabella Reservation. And it may be other reasons that I just don't know.
I'm talking to Matthew Fletcher, professor at the MSU College of Law and the director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. Attorney General Bill Schuette came out today and said that we already have too many casinos in Michigan. This is not only is it not likely going to happen, but we don't want another casino as this one in Lansing. Do the Indian tribes generally agree that we're becoming overly saturated with casinos at this point?
Well, every tribe that doesn't have access to a gaming market, like the Upper Peninsula tribes in particular, would totally disagree. And I will say this, any governor, I can't speak for the Attorney General or the governor, but nationally speaking, and this is actually true to some extent in Michigan, every governor has a price. So you can get an administration to go along with it so long as they get a cut. And really the negotiation comes down to how much and what is the tribe going to get in return for the revenue sharing. And, you know, so for the state to just say we're not going to do this is just an opening negotiation ploy more than anything.
Now, in turn, I guess that might explain why the Sault Ste. Marie tribe is the one that the Bernero administration is teaming up with on the project. Now, do they have any casinos at all, this Chippewa tribe in Sault Ste. Marie?
They do. In fact, they own more casinos in Michigan than any other tribe, but they're all in the Upper Peninsula. And I don't know what kind of revenues or how much money they make, but the market up there is very small, and they're competing with four other tribes. So, it's a tough ploy. Sault Ste. Marie used to own a casino under state law. They used to own the Greektown Casino that's in Detroit. They lost it several years back in a bankruptcy proceeding. So they're highly motivated to come back down. They once had a casino here in lower Michigan, and I'm sure they want to come right back.
In terms of the impact, though, economically, there's no question, right, that Lansing would benefit from having an Indian casino here.
I think that's probably true. Yes, I'm not an economist, but I have yet to see a study where a city like Lansing is not economically advantaged in some way by having a casino operation open up. There are certainly disadvantages, but I think the advantages, historically speaking, have been far outweighing the negative aspects.
We saw the big announcement today. What are the next steps? What's going to have to happen next in this process?
Well, that's a good question, and it's really up to the city and the tribe. My suspicion is that they're waiting for a ruling in a case involving the Bay Mills Indian community in the Federal Appeals Court right now in Cincinnati. And if the Bay Mills tribe wins that, all bets are off. They can start gaming pretty quickly. But that's a complicated case without any precedent, and the Bay Mills tribe has a big hill to climb to win that one. So I don't expect that they will win that case.
I see, and that was a case where a casino was set up in a city, an Indian tribe casino was set up, and then it was challenged. Is that it?
That's the one. That's the casino in Vanderbilt, just outside of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians Reservation. And the federal court shut that down, and the Department of Interior came out against it, and the National Indian Gaming Commission came out against it. And their legal theories are certainly unique and I guess worth the attention, but they are unlikely to prevail in the end, I suspect.
And when it comes to the issues Indian tribes have been facing, do they view Governor Snyder and this Republican-controlled legislature in a favorable way?
That's a good question. I don't really know the answer, but I can say historically that that Governor Engler, who was a very conservative governor, Republican governor, was the one who negotiated almost all of the gaming compacts with the Michigan tribes. So politics is partisan, certainly, but money talks as well.
Finally, the financial end of it, I know that Lansing could potentially end up with about, I think, $5, $6 million that was going to go to this fund to provide free college education to Lansing area students, high school graduates. In terms of the breakdown, does the state get a piece of the profits, the Indian casino? I assume the Indian tribe gets most of it, but how do the numbers usually break down?
Well, the way they've usually broken down, and it changes, but the original compacts had 8% of the what they call the net win go to the state and 2% go to the local units of government. Sault Ste., every tribe can negotiate for something different. And you know, that percentage can change. But that typically is what has been the breakdown for the Michigan tribes.
Ultimately, you're saying if we ever do see a casino here in Lansing based on this deal, it probably won't be for at least 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, optimistically speaking, it's going to take a while. And that's not just because of construction. That's because of the legal, political, and economic barriers that are imposing right now over this kind of casino.
Well, it sounds like it's some interesting things ahead, no matter how things turn out. Matthew Fletcher, professor at the MSU College of Law and the director of the MSU Indigenous Law Center. Matthew, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.